Okay.
Hello, and welcome to The Good Robot Andes, Season 3, Episode 6. My name is Andy Balaam,
I am Andy Cockerill.
And the film we're going to talk about this evening is...
Train to Busan. Which you've seen.
Which I've seen, and I didn't just cry. Sorry about the spoilers. By the way, there will be spoilers in this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't just cry.
Oops.
I was soaking wet with tears.
I know. It's an amazing piece of work. It's an amazing piece of work.
So tell me about it. What type of film is it?
Okay, so it is a South Korean zombie apocalypse action thriller from last year.
What about its name? What's the name about?
Train to Busan. So the film takes place on a train. Actually, yeah, mostly. I think either on a train or in train stations, in or around the railway for the most of the film. Mm-hmm. It takes place on a train to Busan, which is, I think, a suburb of Seoul in South Korea, the capital.
Is that right?
I think so.
I thought maybe it was like the second city. Or
actually, it might be. Anyway. Yeah. Shall I look it up?
No, don't look things up.
Okay, who looks things up?
Anyway, it's the final.
Yeah,
it's the place they need to get to.
It's the end of the line. Yeah, mm-hmm. And actually, we talked about a zombie-like movie quite recently, which was The Girl with All the Gifts, mm-hmm. which actually I've seen for sale in supermarkets quite heavily, which is gratifying to see. So
I see. No, I thought you were going to say heavily discounted.
No,
just heavily.
Okay. Heavily sold, so sort of prominently put on the shelves, which is good to see. Yeah. Hopefully people are buying it and enjoying it. But I have no stake in that movie, by the way. I just think it's really good. And it wasn't seen by enough people
just
at
like
the cinema.
Gifts.
I like gifts.
Gifts.
So, yeah, we talked about that, and we talked about how there have been a great deal of zombie-type action movies of late.
A lot of which are dross, really.
A lot of them, a lot of which are dross. But this one is not dross.
No.
And it features running, really aggressive running zombies.
Right.
Who are...
So how do you feel about that being outside of the canon?
Well, I don't think it is outside of canon, because Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake featured running zombies.
Yeah, I think we're starting to just accept that some zombies run.
Yeah. Okay. So this film features an ensemble cast of people who are on board this train. There's a fund manager who's obsessed with his work. There's a pregnant woman who's with her husband. There's a young girl who's with the fund manager, going to see her mother. There's, I think, the owner or the CEO of the train company is one of the passengers. There's a bunch of kids either on their way to or coming from a baseball match or a baseball tournament, something like that, because baseball's really big in South Korea because of the American influence.
They're like the cool kids.
Yeah, they're the cool kids, yeah.
They're like they're out of Greece.
And those baseball bats will come in useful later in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And this film basically gets moving pretty quickly. So at the beginning of the film, you see there's like a quarantine zone. We see signs saying that this area is quarantined. And then we see a deer that's been run over. Basically reanimate itself with like green glowing eyes and drool dripping from its mouth, which is a really great opening and quite ominous. And then we see on the train, I think the first person who is infected is one of the baseball girls who's between carriages, and she then attacks one of the train staff. And the thing with this presumed viral type outbreak is when you're infected you turn really quickly. So it's not like The Walking Dead where you can walk around for a few hours and feel a bit iffy and then when you die you turn. in Train to Busan, you get bitten, and it's a couple of minutes before
on the needs of the plot.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, some people turn slower than others.
Mm-hmm.
And these zombies are they're triggered by movement and sound.
Yes, I'd forgotten that.
So there's a fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole movie is amazingly nail biting and visceral and incredible. But there's a scene when our heroes climb along the luggage racks of a carriage that's full of infected zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And because they can't see them and they're not making any noise, they manage to get almost to the end of the carriage without being detected. That's an incredible scene. It's one of the most nail-biting scenes I've seen in a film for a long, long time.
Yeah, it is edge-of-the-seat action.
It really is edge-of-the-seat. And the other thing they do is, to separate the carriages, they put like newspaper up on the windows so that the zombies can't see them. And when they can't see them, they just stop being aggressive. So they cover up the windows. But as ever, as with things like Aliens, where you've got the sleazy company guy who's in it for himself, you've got the CEO of the train company who is like this utter coward, who's protecting his own interests, completely protecting his own interests, and puts people at risk because of that.
So what's the atmosphere of the film? What's the style?
The look and feel. So I found it to be a little bit similar to a movie called World War Z, or Z, depending on where you live. That was an adaptation of a book that I have read.
Yeah, I've read the book. I haven't seen the film.
The film is really good. I think that it went through a very troubled production. It was one of these things where it had been sort of fated to fail before it was released.
The book's totally unsuitable to be a film, yeah, right? So they completely threw it all away.
It's completely unsuitable, yeah. So that they've got an idea for this film, and they've based a few of the set pieces on it. But the film is really, really good and defied all expectations when it came out and did really well at the box office. Mm. It really connected with
people. It's got Brad Pitt in it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's terrific. So in World War Z, or Z, depending on where you live, the zombies... I'm not sure they're ever called zombies. I'm not sure what they're called. But they kind of gather in massive groups, rather like ants, sort of rolling over each other to get to their target. And there's a scene in World War Z, or Z, depending on where you live.
Or Z,
where,
depending on where you live.
In, I think it's Jerusalem, they've built a massive wall to keep the zombies out, which has been working very well so far. But then they start making loads of noise on the side of the wall. The zombies are attracted to this noise, and they just start piling up against the wall until eventually they can climb over.
Mm.
Like ants, you know, like army ants will form a bridge over something in order to get to more food and destroy a rainforest or something. So in Train to Busan, which doesn't have any, doesn't have a Z in it or a Z, so we don't need to worry about that.
Depending on where you live.
Depending on where you live, it's called Train to Busan. Actually, it's not called that in South Korea, it's called something else. So there's a scene in this where, in fact, there's several scenes where we see the zombies just falling over each other to get to the living people that is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah,
it's like you can't stop them because even if you manage to kill the front one, the back ones just keep coming. They don't slow down.
Yeah, and it's surprisingly long, the film, I think, and the whole way through is just it's wearing. You know, it's constant.
Yeah. It's unrelenting terror, isn't it?
Unrelenting, that's what it is.
Unrelenting. Yeah. There's a scene in where they get off at a station. I can't actually remember why. Maybe to change trains, to try and find another train.
Yeah. Or to just, I think they hear that it's safe.
That's it.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And
they're getting put into quarantine.
Yeah, but it isn't safe by any means.
No.
And they manage to get to separate themselves from the zombies behind a glass door, massive glass door, glass window. Mm. But that doesn't hold out for very long. The whole thing just caves in under the weight of all the bodies, and they just come running after them.
Yeah, and there's quite a lot of the baseball players at that point on the side of the zombies.
Yeah, yeah. So it definitely doesn't pull any punches. It is one of these films where you can look at the characters and think, yeah, they're probably going to die. But I didn't really think that our hero, who's the fund manager, who's overworked, who's got the young daughter, I thought he was going to make it out. But he doesn't. And that's the gut punching. And also the other gut punching one is the pregnant woman with the hero husband, who's overcompensating quite a lot, actually. But he is quite a hero.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. Really powerful moment when he sacrifices himself. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of people really being incredibly heroic in this film.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so it's this unrelenting terror combined with a kind of very simple story arc, a standard redemption story arc where the dad is basically a bad dad. And the daughter says to him throughout the film, you know, why are you such a bad person? Mm. Why don't you be nicer?
Yeah.
And eventually he gets the idea, becomes nicer. And you're like, oh, good. My storyline requirements have been satisfied because now the dad is nicer. We can finish this film now.
Yeah.
And at that point, there's like another half hour of unrelenting terror followed by the dad having to kill himself because he's been infected.
Yeah. And at the end,
at that point, I could barely see because I was covered in tears.
And actually, it's the responsibility of the selfish CEO of the train company, because the train driver, who is also a bit of a hero, he goes for like a big old diesel locomotive to try and get them out in, and the CEO of the company hijacks it, but he gets infected.
He's already infected, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's slowly turning. And he's such a ratbag, you know. He's just... this is in many ways a black and white movie in terms of the characters. Yeah. They're not very subtle, are they, these characters?
Yeah, yeah. This one of the things about it that shocked me was how much it affected me, given how really straightforward the morality is.
Yeah.
You know, there's just this really bad guy. And by this point in the film, we've already established that he's a really bad guy, because he's essentially thrown some people to the wolves earlier on, some of our main heroes.
Yeah.
But then they just escape, even though he's locked the door in their faces.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's such a bad guy.
But interestingly, our main protagonist, the dad who has the redemption story, he does some pretty bad equivalent stuff quite early.
Yes, he does.
He locks some people out, and I think the daughter insists on saving them, does she? Or?
Yes, she does. Yeah.
So he's quite bad.
Yeah.
He's also quite a bad dad.
I think he starts... I think he starts off being... Well, okay. Let me put that into perspective. I think that he is our everyman. So he starts out like we are, making some questionable decisions to save his own ass.
But even before that, we've already got serious doubts about him, because he's basically not bothered... He's forgotten that he's already bought his daughter the same present last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think, you know, he's really not a great dad. And the daughter's saying, for my birthday, I just want to go and see my mum, who lives in Busan. That's why they're going to Busan.
Yeah.
So we already think, you know, he's failing at being a dad.
Failing at life.
Now he's an awful person, just sacrificing people to save his daughter and himself. And then he goes on this great redemptive arc where you go with him. You really feel for him.
You really go with him. And then he does sacrifice himself to save them.
Yeah. The real heart-wrenching thing is the daughter is not up for that.
No.
She doesn't.
No, she doesn't want that to happen at all.
She doesn't think he should do that.
No, she's like,
so
she's
like, doesn't let him off the hook.
She's like, yeah, I know you were bad dad, but now you're good dad, and I don't want you to go and kill yourself. But there's, I was just thinking about, there's an incredible scene towards the end of the film where you've got this standalone locomotive that's got our heroes on. Mm. And one zombie grabs hold of the back of it, and then another one grabs hold of the back of him, and then they all just pile on.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, it's like, the analogy is, it's like a bit like a load of bees all swarming. Mm. I've never seen anything like this in terms of zombie action. It's absolutely phenomenal stuff.
Yeah, it feels so fresh when it's hard to say why, because the storyline is simplistic and the zombies aren't, they're ordinary zombies, except they run. But I think those aspects that you're talking about are a bit different.
Yeah, they are.
But it just feels so fresh.
It does feel fresh. I think that when we get on to... Actually, we could do what's good about it now, I suppose.
Go on then.
Is that it feels fresh.
What good is it?
What good is it in the world? So I think
why is the world better because of it?
In an overpopulated marketplace of zombie films... Because there's a whole load of zombie films that we don't talk about on this show. There's loads of them.
Most of them based on computer games.
Yeah, that's true. Resident Evil being one of them. Are they actually zombies though?
They're part of the genre.
Yeah. In a world of zombie movies, Train to Busan brings something really fresh to it. And really different. And although its characters are very much archetypes and the zombies are running zombies, it sets out its stall and says, yeah, you see all of that, but look at this. And you've got, the zombies kind of swarming and being incredibly aggressive. And that, I think that is what really keeps it going and makes it interesting.
I think it brings an innocence to the genre that hasn't been around since the idea of zombies was new.
Mm.
It seems fresh, doesn't it? It tells such a simple story. For me, I think one of the reasons why it's good that it exists in the world is that it just gives you that really simple message of, you should be a nice person.
Yes.
You should try and be a good parent or a good friend or whatever. And you should look after people, even strangers.
Mm. Because you never know.
It's that simple, its message.
You never know, because actually one of the heroes is like quite a scuzzy homeless guy.
Yeah.
And he ends up being a real hero, but he's the kind of person that you would pass on the street and ignore completely. But he really steps up to help out.
Yeah, there's a few characters who are... I'm thinking of the kind of heroic husband of the pregnant lady.
Yeah.
Who they just seem like they're slightly played as the kind of person you'd overlook.
Yeah.
They're not that rich and they're not that clever or whatever, but then they're true heroes.
Yeah, there's a scene on the train when to get through the zombie horde, because actually they realise that they're not going to get through the train very quickly if they're crawling along the luggage racks, so they have to go just a frontal assault through the train carriage. And they wrap what I think is like newspaper and clothes around their arms. So
yeah,
they could basically using
glove, boxing glove tape or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, to use it as kind of a battering ram just to get through. So if they get bitten, they don't actually, their flesh doesn't get bitten.
Hmm.
And that's just, that's just pure terror, really.
Yeah, it's terrifying and also so much fun. It's like it's played for laugh slightly.
It is slightly. I think that I don't know if you've seen much South Korean horror, but it's quite unique in the way that things are portrayed. It is very much of itself. It doesn't really pay lip service to any kind of other filmmaking. I think Train to Busan is a unique film. I don't, although it has the archetypes, although it has the zombies in it, it is very much its own thing.
Yeah, it feels like it's built on all the mythology that's already there, you know. So you don't need to be told that when they get to the next station, actually, it'll already be overrun. You know, you know that because that's bound to be what's happening. So it doesn't even bother too much with setting that stuff up because you already know.
There's an amazing scene at the end that I thought they were going to reference the original Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Do you know really the bit I mean?
Yeah.
And I was really hoping.
I was like, no.
I was really hoping. So we'll tell listener what happens here. So there's, I think, two survivors from the train. So there's the young girl, the daughter, and there's another woman, I think.
Yeah.
Is it the pregnant
lady?
Yeah, the pregnant lady. So it's the pregnant lady and the young girl who survived the train. They're heading for the quarantine zone where the army are. And
In Busan.
And they walk down this tunnel, and then the army are at the other end of the tunnel, and they've got scoped weapons and night vision goggles and, you know, loads of weaponry. And they're looking at these two who are kind of shambling through the tunnel a bit zombie-like.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get confirmation on whether they're humans or not.
They can't decide, so they get the kill order because better safe than sorry.
And then one of them shouts.
Then they sing.
Oh, they sing. That's right. Yeah.
Because they're singing, they zombies must be human. Don't sing. Yeah. So they don't get killed.
And it is. I thought that it was going to end like Night of the Living Dead. I thought they were just going to stick the knife in and twist it.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
So just
do
to
that.
Spoil, just to spoil Night of the Living Dead for you. At the end of Night of the Living Dead, the main protagonist is a black man surrounded by sort of dumb white people.
Rednecks.
And has basically done his best to save them, and they've all been too stupid, and eventually they've all got killed, and only he's left.
They're appalling people.
And it gets to the next morning. He's survived the night. It's all is peaceful. And then there are some people out cleaning up after the zombie apocalypse with their shotguns, like more rednecks.
Yeah.
Out shooting zombies, and he stands up. One of them sees him and goes, "There's one," and shoots him.
Yeah, and it's such a bleak ending. It's so bleak, and I thought they were going to do that for Train to Busan, but they didn't, and I was glad that they didn't because I think I probably would have been more of a mess than I was already.
Yeah. That wouldn't have been like after you. I'd cried it all out already. So I propose to watch this with my wife and my brother-in-law next weekend.
Ah,
But I'll have to try and hold it together.
Yeah,
not cry in front of them.
It's difficult, though. It's really difficult. See, there's some films that you just can't watch with company. I can't watch The Shawshank Redemption with company because it just destroys me every time.
I haven't watched that for a long time.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, yeah, but there's so many films that make me tear up. It's ridiculous. So,
all right, are we done? Let's do some plugging.
Oh, plugging. Okay. Do you want to plug first?
Okay.
Go on, then.
I recently did a talk at the ACCU conference about how to write a programming language. If you look on my Twitter, I linked to the video. There's a video on YouTube. I also make other videos about programming.
Can people find that video if they go to your... Have you got a YouTube account?
It's not on... Yeah. I don't know how... Because it's not on my YouTube. It's on the ACCU conference YouTube.
Oh,
I don't know. I might try and find a way to link it.
Okay, because that would be cool if you could link it on the Good Robot Andy's page.
Yeah, maybe. I'll see if I can. Mm. Anyway, generally, I make programming videos about how to program. And things that are exciting. And I write a blog. And I made a game called Rabbit Escape for Android, which is free on the Play Store, or you can buy it for 60p.
The F-Droid.
And it's on the F-Droid store. And it's on the Amazon store. I haven't even checked whether anyone has downloaded
it
on the Amazon store.
I have played it on my Kindle, and it works very nicely.
It works? Yes. Okay, good.
Presumably, I could... I've got an Amazon Fire Stick. So it would play as well.
Is that a TV thing?
Yes.
Yeah, it may not let you have it on TV because it doesn't have the special metadata you have to put on to say this works on a TV.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
because it needs a touchscreen, really, so it probably wouldn't work.
Probably wouldn't work. Okay.
Anyway, also, if you're listening to this podcast, it's possible that you like podcasts. So I've also made a podcast called the Imagine Thought Experiment podcast, which is quite different from this podcast, except for the format of it, which is a podcast. but it's my thoughts about things like God and death and stuff like that. You can find that.
And science.
There's a link
progress.
To that. Is there any science?
And progress.
I guess, so, yeah, there's science. There is a bit of science.
Hmm.
Okay. And from the point of view of how the science that I've studied affected what I thought about things like that.
Aye. Cool.
Yeah, that's probably all. There's a load of it. Just check the about page of the Good Robot Andy's. There's all kinds of links.
A boot
page.
Shall I plug?
Go for it.
I shall plug. I present a radio show on Glastonbury FM 107.1 in the Glastonbury Street and Wells. I'm already laughing about this. The Glastonbury Street and Wells area of Somerset. The radio show goes out between 6 and 7 p.m. on Thursday evening. It's also on the internet, not just on the FM.
Do you get viewing figures off the internet?
I have no idea.
How many people does it reach?
I don't know.
Well, can you get back to us on that?
Yeah. I'll see if I can get some info on that, because I'd be interested myself to see how many people are listening. So yes, it's a movie reviews. I've actually branched out into television just the last couple of weeks. I've been talking about Neil Gaiman's American Gods, which is on Amazon Prime. In the rest of the world and in the United States, I think it's on Stars TV, I think. It's really good. It's really good. I love Neil Gaiman's stuff. I just think he's a fantastic writer. So yeah, I've been talking about that on the show, but it's generally movie reviews and music of my choosing, with the occasional live guest. So there's a new feature that is not very regular feature. It sort of appears when I can find someone to come on the show and talk about it, called Movies That Change My Life, which is a bit like Desert Island Discs, but without the discs and no Desert Island. And not
other than that.
And not infringing on anyone's copyright.
Yeah.
So that's me. Oh, and there are podcast highlights of the radio show. If you search for Movie Mashup on your podcasting app of choice or iTunes, then subscribe. And if you subscribe using iTunes, it would be really great if you could leave a rating and a review. In fact, it'd be good if you could do that for the Good Robot Andy's as well.
Yeah, do it. Also, you can find the Good Robot Andy's on YouTube. Do any of your clips go on YouTube?
No, I used to put stuff on YouTube, but I found that it was just a bit onerous in terms of putting it all together every week. So I don't do it anymore.
And then Google are liable to just shut you down without telling you why.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
But, you know.
That's them.
They're a benevolent deity, so we pray to them.
We do.
Oh, did you not?
No.
Okay.
Is that it?
I think that might be it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
See you next time.
Yeah, see you next time.